blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 267, stanzas 1 through 4. Jehovah reigns supreme. Let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim, and let earth before him bow. 1 through 4 of Psalter 267.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Numbers chapter 35, beginning with verse 9 through verse 34. Numbers 35, verse 9 to the end. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Numbers 35, verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye become over Jordan into the land of Canaan, and then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, and that the slayer may flee thither which killeth any person at unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, and that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which ye shall give, six cities shall ye have for refuge. And ye shall give three cities on this side Jordan, and three cities shall ye give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that every one that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer, the murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, the murderer shall surely be put to death. Or if he smite him with an hand weapon of wood wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer, and when he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him of hatred, or hurl at him by laying of weight, and that he die, or in enmity smite him with his hand that he die, he that smote him shall surely be put to death. For he is a murderer, the revenger of blood shall slay the murderer when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, and then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood. And the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it unto the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall not be guilty of blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for a statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death. But he shall be surely put to death. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the high priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood, it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this afternoon Mr. Harry Vinny, who we see may be with us again today after eye surgery. And let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, we may read in thy holy word of that sin of murder, which when committed in a willful manner was not to be forgiven, but the murderer was surely to be put to death. And thou knowest the land in which we do live, wherein this sin that has made itself to be the sin of the land, so that man is no longer put to death according to thy command, and that this sin runs rampant in our countries, and so that even it is made according to the law of the land, and that man is not guilty when he is taking the life of his neighbor, and even going against that motherly instinct to take the life of our own child. How is it possible that thou still bearest with us? Thy long suffering over us is so very, very great. But we read in thy word what thy thoughts are concerning the murderer, and what are thy thoughts then concerning us. Then it is a wonder that we still stand as a nation. It is a wonder that the sun still shines upon us and the rain comes down upon our fields, so that the blessings of this life are still given unto us. But is it now a people that do make ourselves fat for the slaughter? Because thou hast extended unto Pharaoh also his life, and cut him not off in the beginning, and thou hast hardened his heart, because for this purpose thou hadst raised him up, that thou might make thy power known. And so he was in the end cut off suddenly, but also without remedy. Oh, that thou may give us to take heed to our ways, even as nations that are so blessed by thee, and who provoke thee day to day unto anger. And wilt thou have mercy upon us, to have yet dealings with us, so that in the end we would not be destroyed. We beseech thee then, and that thou may remember us as a nation and as peoples, and that thou may look upon our governors and cause us to turn again to thy word and to thy testimonies. But wilt thou look upon us also as a people who may gather week by week around thy holy word, and who may be given understanding in our minds that is not given unto others. And yet thou knowest our hearts and all that lies within. For the cause that is lying within our own hearts also, and it does manifest itself in so many ways in our life, so that there is not one who is unable to put his hand into his own bosom and to take it out clean. And then it is our responsibility in this afternoon to lay out the manner of this sin in the lives of men. And we ask of thee, O Lord, and that it could please thee, that we may be used as a little instrument in thy hands in this afternoon, as thou hast sent thy servant in unto the king, who had taken the life of his brother, and did say unto him, "Thou art the man." Oh, that that message may come home also to us, that we may be given with him to be able no longer to uphold ourselves, but that we must come in the dust of self-abasement before thee to say with David, "I have sinned against the Lord." Oh, that is the only way, and that it is possible to receive what he may receive from thee. When thou didst declare unto him, "The Lord hath also put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." Oh, that we also may then seek that our sin may be put away. And we have read out of thy word the only way. For thou didst set before thy people cities of refuge, wherein the slayer may flee. Oh, that we may be given then, while the avenger of blood does pursue us, to flee each one of us unto that city of refuge, which is to be found in the blood of thy dear Son, and that in him we may be safe from the avenger of blood, and that in him we may be forgiven at the death of the high priest. Oh, look on us then all together in mercy. Go with us in this afternoon hour. Give us a mouth to speak. Give us a heart filled with matter. Give us ears to hear and hearts to understand. And be with us in thy mercy as a congregation. Look upon our uncle who may be with us again in this day. Wilt thou heal him in his eye and give him what is necessary that he may be able to see clearly again? For thou knowest the necessity of our eyesight. And oh, that thou may give him also an eye to see within, and an eye to look upon thee. Wilt thou remember all afflicted and sick ones, the little child we lay before thee once again? Wilt thou supply and give further health and strength? And all those that have difficulties and needs in the mind or in the body, and wilt thou stand on the right and on the left hand in thy mercy? And wilt thou heal? And wilt thou give to know that thou livest? And that all thy callings may bring us upon our knees before thee. And that they may draw us to seek thee for the good of our souls. And wilt thou go with thy servants over the length and the breadth of this world? Increase their number in thy mercy. Could it please thee in the months to come, and that thou would send forth some that may be burdened with this work. Lord, thou knowest the great need for the laborers. They are so very many, and the laborers are few. And we have not the strength to do all that is necessary to be done. But wilt thou provide for us, O Lord, in mercy as a denomination, that we may receive men out of thy own hand, and men who come forth with a burden laid upon them by thee, and that may be for the welfare of thy Zion. And may it be in the midst of us, but also upon the mission fields. Also our own mission field. Wilt thou provide for them, and give a servant of thy choosing in thy own time. Wilt thou look upon us as a consistory, help us in all our cares, and the school also in all their needs. Give us together wisdom, and the school board administration and teachers alike. Bless the instruction of teachers, parents, and office bearers, that threefold cord may not be easily broken. And that thou may give us together to lay one another before thee. And that thou may bless us undeservedly. Help us. Then once more in this afternoon hour, be thou with thy presence in our midst. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 300, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 12. O God, whom I delight to praise, to thee my cry for help I raise. Be thou my friend and advocate when foes assail with bitter hate. The last collection today is for the Disaster Fund, Psalter 300, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 12. Congregation, what a precious thing is life. We've heard in this morning how that even Satan, he has said, skin for skin, all that a man hath, will he give for his life. And that man himself, he is endowed with a principle by the Lord himself in his creation, that he desires the preservation of his life, life that is a gift of God. Man, with all of the technology, with all of the wisdom that the Lord gives to him for things in this life, is never able to give unto himself or to anyone else in this world life. Reading God's word, Job says, The Spirit of the Lord has made me, and the breath of the Almighty, he hath given me life. But life that is not only in a natural way, but there is a threefold life in which man was created. That means that he was also given a spiritual life. That life we know was lost immediately in paradise after our fall. And it is a life that is restored to man in regeneration. Man also tries to take this life in his own hands, thinking that he has within himself the power, that he has within himself a free will, and that he has the ability to take that life unto himself. The Lord Jesus has said that the bread of God is he which came down from heaven, which giveth life unto the world. I am the resurrection, he says, and the life. Then in the last place, there is eternal life. Paul says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do we have a desire that we also may receive eternal life? Many do, or think that they do. Do not realize what that eternal life actually is, because wherein does that eternal life consist, and when does it begin? Does not begin when we die, but it begins already in this life. It is spiritual life that is the beginning of life eternal. Bunyan's pilgrim, he received that life where? He received the beginning of that eternal life when he was in the city of destruction. And that life was not able to be taken away from him, though Satan has so very, very many devices, can never die. The devil, he is the greatest enemy to life, seeking to destroy life, and therefore the temptation to our first parents, bringing about death in this world. But Satan is not finished, and he is using man also as an instrument in his hands, and therefore and the Lord has given us the commandment, which is the subject of our consideration in this afternoon: thou shalt not kill. Lord's Day 40, questions 105 through 107. Question 105. What doth God require in the sixth commandment? Answer, that neither in thoughts, nor words, nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor, by myself or by another, but that I lay aside all desire of revenge, also that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger, and wherefore also the magistrate is armed with the sword to prevent murder. Question 106. But this commandment seems only to speak of murder. Answer, in forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that he accounts all these as murder. Question 107, but is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? Answer, no. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. So far, our Lord's Day. The command against murder first. We consider this commandment in its external implications. And second, we consider this commandment in its spirituality. The commandment against murder first. We consider this commandment in its external implications. And second, we consider this commandment in its spirituality. Thou shalt not kill. Actually, it says, thou shalt not murder. Therefore, it puts to silence a number of false interpretations of this commandment in the first place. An interpretation of this commandment which says that we may not kill an animal. But we find that after the flood, the Lord has said unto Adam that he has given unto him every moving thing that moveth on the earth for meat, even as the herbs, the green herbs, has he given unto them unto him for meat. Thus, it is not murder to kill an animal. However, it is possible, and we read that in God's word, that indeed we offend God when we mistreat the beasts that are in this world. Striking a beast for an expectation that is within ourselves, that is an unreasonable expectation, striking him in our passion, striking him in our anger. Balaam said, if I had a sword in my hand, I would kill thee. The congregation, if we would only consider the fact that these animals suffer not for their own sin, but all the suffering of the animals, children, when you may see it, and you may think only about ourselves, and that is all the suffering of the animals who have no soul and who are not capable of sinning against God. All that suffering that has been brought upon these creatures by us. Solomon says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Thus, the Lord, he does not speak in this commandment about the killing of animals. There are those that say that because we read, thou shalt not kill, and that means that we are not allowed to go to war. That is the thought and the teaching of the Socinians and the Mennonites. That is a perversion of this commandment, because in many places we can read in God's word how that he himself has commanded his own children to go to war. There are just wars in this world, wars that are necessary for putting away the evil that is in this world. Only we must be careful that we are not recklessly taking the life of men. Thou shalt not kill does not mean that we are not permitted ever to defend ourselves, as if that I am required just to give myself and my life into the hands of those who would abuse me and who would take my life. If a man may not defend himself, he may also not defend his neighbor, and he may not defend his country and the world that is then given into the hands of the wicked. Thou shalt not kill does not mean that we may not have a death penalty. That is another perversion of this commandment. The death penalty, we have read it in God's word, that is given by the Lord himself as a manner not of murdering, but of putting away murder. And what is now prohibited to an individual to do is not necessarily prohibited by a government or by one who is set in authority. That is, from the Lord's side, man is called to carry out justice. So we read it, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That it shall be shed. Then it is not just a something that is given into the hands of man to decide whether he shall do it or not, but it is a requirement from the side of the Lord that he gives into the hands of those who receive authority by him, and that they are carrying out justice in this world. Our fathers say, wherefore also the magistrate is armed with the sword to prevent murder. It is true. And then it is possible that one time or another that a person who is innocent, a person that is perhaps framed, that he is being put to death. And we cannot deny this. However, that is not the fault of the death penalty, but that is the fault then of the justice system. And therefore, it is lying as a responsibility upon the justice system that they are investigating without partiality. Thou shalt not kill. What does it show to us? It shows to us that the Lord has a divine right over the life of man. He has created man, and even as he is preserving everything that is in this world, then he is also upholding the life of man, and he is preserving the life of man in his commandment to man, that he shall keep himself from this sin. Man, his soul, his body, that belongs not even to himself, but that belongs unto the Lord. And for that reason, man actually does not even have a right of his own life. Our life we did not give unto ourselves. That life, that breath, that was a gift of God. And it is for this reason that we are also not permitted to take our life from ourselves. The wrong of self-murder is implied in this commandment. When we read how that the Lord says that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, then we read how that the Lord sets the love of ourself as a pattern that we may also love others, which makes the practice of suicide and assisted suicide a crime, a sin in the sight of God. And all those who cooperate with this are indeed counted murderers before him. There are so many questions because of the technology of our day, and we think about the donating of organs. They are also parts of what we call our bodies. But what is now our right concerning our own body? Is it now my right to give one of what I call my organs unto someone else? We do not say that you ought not to do this. We only say that all of these questions are so very, very difficult. And there really is, from our side, no answer to the increasing questions that are coming in our days, and especially that will come in the days of our children. We may not kill ourselves. And so our fathers, they also speak about neglecting ourselves also, and that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any dangers. That is, that I may not hurt and that I may not deprive myself of the necessities of this life. Nourishment, exercise that is necessary for our bodies, that I may not hurt myself with those things, young people. Then we know already when we are so very young that to smoke, that is to kill our body, then we are guilty. When especially there is nothing that is drawing us in our physical body to do such a thing, or to use drugs, or to be continually overeating and to be so destroying that body that God has given to us. There are those who are participating in very dangerous sports, that they may receive what they are calling a thrill, very, very steep mountain climbing, where it is so easily to fall immediately to our death. We think of the practice of bungee jumping, or of carnival rides even. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thus, the life of our neighbor that ought to be just as precious to us as our own life is. And when we have spoken about that law of self-preservation concerning ourselves, then it ought to be just as strong in us that we are seeking to preserve that life of my neighbor. and thus the increasing prevalence of euthanasia in our day. And that is evidence and that the love is waxing cold, and that man, he is speaking about the quality of his life in this world, but he is not concerning himself with that actual gift of life itself. Our fathers speak about being doing this by myself or by another. Ahab and Jezebel, they have never touched Naboth themselves, and they have not taken a stone to throw it at him themselves, but these two were the instigators, and these two were those who were guilty of his death. So Saul was guilty of the death of the priest of the Lord. What did Nathan say to David? He says, "Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword." Did David do this? Oh, David tried to cover this sin, that he had it done by the actual hand of the enemy. No one would know it. But the Lord has seen it, and the Lord has looked upon the motive of David. And when David has written to Joab, and when he has told him to thrust him forth into the forefront of that battle, it is not murder, as we have read out of God's word, when a man is slain by us accidentally, as when the axe slippeth from the helve. But when we know that this head of the axe is loose, then it becomes our guilt, and it is a guilt of neglect. And thus, when we are not actually planning the death of our neighbor, but when we have not thought beforehand of all the things that could be happening in our businesses, congregation, upon our farms, when we have not looked about us, when we have not been careful, when we have not seen and learned from the accidents that have taken place here and there, when we have not warned our children, when we have not warned our employees, then we are also guilty of this neglect. There is also aggravation by times to the sin of murder. That is, when that sin of murder has been committed without any provocation. The sin of murder that is evil. Moses sinned when he has slain an Egyptian, when he has used force in punishing this Egyptian, which was greater than the force that he ought to have used. Thus it is a crime also in our own country, when we will defend ourselves, when we will use a force against our attacker, which is greater than that which is necessary to ward off the attack. And so we read of Moses, and he will punish, and teachers, parents, how do we punish? Because there is a punishment that is fit to the crime, but then there is also a punishment that is easily going beyond the extent of this crime. And that is not only provoking our children unto wrath, but it is sometimes going so far, even as was in the case of Moses, that he has slain a man. And yet we read about Hazael. He was the servant of Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. And he has slain this king in his sleep in order that he may reign in his stead. That was a man and that had never done a thing against him, and without provocation he has gone in to take away his life. We read that also of Rechab and Baanah, how that they have snuffed out the breath of Ish-bosheth when he was lying upon his bed, and rightly. And David has seen how that this was an aggravation to the murder that they have committed. It is an aggravation when murder is committed against God's own people. Because God's children are that cork upon which the whole world is floating. God's children are the apple of his eye, and they are in a special way being cared for by him. And then we may be certain that the anger of the Lord is provoked when we are sinning against his children. It is an aggravation of this commandment when it is against superiors, when it is against the magistrates in the land, as Ishmael has slain Gedaliah. It is an aggravation when it is done against those of our own flesh, against parents or our own brother, as Cain has slain Abel. But this commandment that extends to more than actual murder, also what is related, our fathers speak about wounding, dishonoring, and hating. And our instructors teach us that it is possible to transgress this commandment by words and gestures. The Lord Jesus, we know, has said, and that if thou say to thy brother, thou fool, thou art in danger of hell fire. Not, of course, when that is done to a good purpose, that we are trying to show a person what their folly is, but when this is proceeding out of an evil heart, when this is proceeding out of hatred, then it is nothing but a boiling over of the wickedness that lies in our hearts. Young people, children, boys and girls, how is that in school? When you are speaking to one another, we so often do not realize, and then especially when you are young, and sometimes when we are older too, that we do not realize what a dagger, what a sword that our words can be, and that they can enter into the heart of another child, and they can wound him so terribly in his heart that he never forgets it, and that he can speak about it even when he has become old. Children, young people, please be careful, because we can wound one another with our words. We can wound one another, even with our looks. The entertainment in this world that is also full of murder. The movies, the books, young people. We go often on the airplane and we see it. It is all around us. A little television on the back of every seat. So it is here and here and all over. And then you see it. And you see what the world is watching. And then you see that it is no wonder that this is being entrenched into the minds of the people of the land. Movies full of murder and hatred and all kinds of evil. Or are we also filling our minds in our youth with all of these things? Do we do these things even beyond the permission of our parents, going to places where we ought not to be, taking them out of the libraries, watching them, when we know that our parents do not approve? Then we sin in more than one way against the Lord. But murder that is not only in our outward actions and in our words, our fathers, they speak about this also being in our hearts. And that is the consideration of our second point, the spirituality of this command. But this commandment seems only to speak of murder. Answer, in forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that he counts all these as murder. Thus, it does not begin with an external murder. But we read, the thought of foolishness is sin. Here is the cause. The cause is lying in our hearts. And when that sin is lying in our hearts, then it is bringing forth in our life, if the Lord does not prevent, its evil fruits, thus hatred, and that without cause. And when that hatred lies there, then we are also very easily becoming angry and desirous of revenge. Then it is possible that we even have wished in our heart that such a person was taken away, that such a person was killed by some accident, that he would die. There is a lawful anger. Moses upon the mount was rightfully angry with the children of Israel. And there was a holy zeal that did burn in his heart. Phinehas was rightly angry when a man has brought into the camp a Midianitish woman. Thus, sometimes we must be angry. That is, we must be angry at wickedness, and we also must show something of this anger with reproofs that are fit to the magnitude of that sin. Then we are not to be soft. Then we are not to be gentle in the reproof of wickedness and sin. No, but then our indignation ought to be seen also on our countenance. Because sin that needs to be reproved with a very holy severity. Eli did not do this. His sons committed wickedness. And then he said, "My sons, what are these things you do? What is this? This is not a good report that comes to my ears." "No, Eli, then you are much too soft with your children. And your children need not only to be spoken of, but this is the service of the Lord. And these children ought to be thrown out of that priesthood." Indeed, there is a lawful anger. However, how careful we must be, because self that is so soon creeping in to our anger, and our fathers, they speak about envy. We know that Cain, he was filled with envy. He could not bear that the Lord had accepted the sacrifice of his brother, and that he had not received his own. Wrath, we read, is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who can stand before envy? And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Envy, that is the rottenness of the bones. And a man wears away with envy against his brother, murdering his brother in his heart 1,000 times over, and all accounted murder before God. It is the first beginnings, and it is a wonder when we will be kept from bringing forth the final fruits of it in our life. Let us sing in Psalter number 41, 4, 5, and 6. The law that the Lord has ordained is perfect in the soul to restore. His truth makes the simple most wise. The truth that is sure evermore. 1, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 40. But is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? No. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, He commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. Thus, that is only not only in a negative way placed before us, but also in a positive way, that we are also responsible for the actual welfare of our neighbor. Thus, Cain asked the Lord, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And what does the Lord say to him? He says, "Yes." That is what he implies. Solomon says, "Withhold not good from him to whom that it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do it. Say not to your neighbor, 'Go and come again,' when thou hast it by thee." Thus, to keep back now the present necessities of our neighbor, or to neglect the sick and the diseased, or to refuse hospitality unto those that are poor. But congregation, if now that is a sin, if we will neglect the needs of the body, how much more when we will neglect the needs of the soul? Then it is not only unto a natural death that we go, but it is unto an eternal death. And the Lord has commanded that we shall not hate our neighbor in our heart. And we shall not in any wise suffer sin upon him, but that we shall rebuke him. Why? Because sin, because the wages of sin is death. Thus, for us to allow one another to go on in the ways of sin, that is actually nothing less than for us to murder one another. Sometimes, there are those who are in authority that are actually commanding a man to sin. Thus, Saul commanded Doeg to murder the priest of the Lord. And there were other servants of the Lord, of the king, who did not dare to follow through on that command of the Lord. But Doeg, in his enmity to the Lord and to his servants, then he has carried forth this wicked demand of the king. Jonadab told Amnon how that he could go about to sin against Tamar. He counseled him in the ways of sin. That is nothing more, nothing less than to destroy the soul of our neighbor. Saul consented to the stoning of Stephen. He did not throw the stones, no, but he held the clothing of those who threw them. Thus, parents, and not only parents, but everyone that is in authority, when we do not warn, when we do not rebuke, when we withhold this from our children, when we withhold this from our inferiors, when we allow our children just to walk in an evil way, then we are murderers of the souls of our children, that we are not instructing them in the very evil nature of sin, where sin is bringing them,
Their soul that shall be in an everlasting death. Thus, when we are in authority, then we are given means that we may use to prevent other persons from going in the ways of sin. And then we see the corruption that is in the world in which we are living. When children and those who are under authority are being abused by parents, abused by teachers, abused by clergy, abused by government officials. And so we see how loose that the devil has been made in our days. That is also true of us as a consistory. That we are guilty when we are not carrying out discipline within the church. That we suffer sin to continue to go on in the congregation. No, we must warn before sin takes place. That we are blowing the trumpet. That we are not suffering sin upon one another. And we must also rebuke sharply when sin has taken place. It is soul murder for a consistory to allow false teachers within the church on the pulpit, that they will bring error, that they will bring heresy, false religion to the congregation. That is to destroy souls. Why? Because we lure the hearts. We lure the hearts with doctrines that are indeed luring unto the natural man. Manners, customs of such religion and error are often pleasing to our natural heart. They are drawing to us and so corrupting our soul. But they are sheep in wolves' clothing. And when those who are able are not reproving such error, but we bid them Godspeed, then we are partakers, we read, of their evil deeds. Therefore, we are not to put a man into office rashly, a novice, one who is not proven. Murder of souls may also be simply by our example. David's sin, and then especially as one of God's true people, and one who was in authority, that did make the Lord, says the enemy, to blaspheme God. Then our children, they are walking according to our example. Thus we need to say nothing. We only need to walk in a way wherein we ourselves will go lost. And we are guilty for those that are all around us. Saying that the need of our soul is not an important matter. Is saying that everything that is in this world, all that is passing away, this needs to receive in the first place our attention. And then we are destroying the souls of our children and of our neighbors. Thus, congregation, how is it with ourselves concerning that sixth commandment? That is, between God and our soul. Or who is able to say that they are guiltless concerning all of these things, of the motives that are lying in our heart?
Young people, you know, we read in the Word of God about a broken spirit. Or it is possible that we also kill, as it were, even the spirit of our parents. Are we to our parents a burden? Are we the cause? By our words, by our actions, by our desires, by our rebellious behavior, are we the cause
and that we make our parents to go bow down over this world. Oh, think about Jacob's children and what they did to him. Oh, they would indeed bring down the gray hairs of their father to the grave with all that they have done against their dear father. The Bible talks about murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers. Thus, how is it with us? What a load of iniquity, is that not so? We say the world in which we live, and murder and killing and slaying the unborn, yes, all the truth. But what is now lying? Oh, when we had not been instructed, then would we not also be seeking young people to hide the sin of adultery by slaying the child in the womb? This has taken place even with young people within our own denominations, to add sin unto sin. Thus, what is our practice? What is now lying within our hearts? Oh, do we ever see what our need is for a Savior? Do we ever feel anything of the guilt? Do we ever feel anything of the pollution? Do we ever see anything of the need, and that we may be reconciled again unto God? That we may be forgiven, that we may be cleansed, that we may be brought again into that communion with the Lord. Oh, we can read in the Word of God the way that the Lord has made that a man may again come into this communion. Then the Lord has laid out for us what those cities of refuge were, even for the manslayer. Oh, when that sentence of guilt that is coming home to the soul, then David, that he made confession and he said, I have sinned against the Lord. And then the Lord is instructing us in that way that it is possible for us once again to be forgiven. And then we can read about him in whom was no murder. We can read of him that not only in the outward deeds was he looking after the welfare of his fellow man, but in thought, in word, and in deed, never any wrong anger, never any hatred in his heart, even unto his enemies, supplicating unto his Father for those who had nailed him unto the cross. Never any envy in his heart. When he was reviled, we read, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Oh, that is the perfection of that Son of God who has come into this world to pay that price for sin. Do we ever feel something of a need, that also this may be imputed unto us, that all the guilt for all the iniquity, the envy, the hatred that is lying in our hearts would be laid upon him, and that imputed unto us may be that blessed and perfect righteousness of that Son of God? That is now the only way that it is possible for you and me to be reconciled unto God, because murderers, they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. But in him that church is forgiven, in him that church is washed, in him that church is cleansed, and in him the church is once again reunited with their maker and their creator. Blessed church, black, black, stained with sin, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Black, yes, black as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon, and yet comely, comely, in the sight of God, in the sight of His only begotten Son. Oh, the Lord, make us seekers of Him. The Lord, make us finders of Him while it is still called today. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, what is man that Thou art mindful of him when he has sinned so against Thee? But Thou hast sent Thine only begotten Son. O open our eyes for our need, that He may become precious unto us, when we may become the guilty one and deserving of that eternal death. Oh, that we may be given to seek our life in Him. Wilt Thou go with us now when we depart from one another again? Give us to keep Thy Sabbath day holy. And wilt Thou keep us over all dangerous ways? Help us in the week to come, each one of us, in the place that Thou hast given unto us. Remember us when we will travel in the end of this week to be in our sister congregation and elsewhere in the following week. Remember those that must stand here in this place. Oh, give them help from above. And that word that they may choose to bring may be a word that is chosen by Thee that they must bring, and that it may be for the welfare of this our flock. Wilt Thou keep us on every side with our children, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
168:2-3. How great my trespasses appear, but Thou from guilt my soul wilt clear, and my transgressions hide. How blessed Thy chosen who by grace are brought within Thy dwelling place, that they may there abide. 2 and 3 of 168. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.